Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery. So you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Is on Justin Mike here. Hope it's not causing you too much friction. But, a lot to talk about today. We got to preview the Mississippi State Southern Miss game. We got to recap the Mississippi State and Texas game. Look ahead to this afternoon or this evening's women's basketball game. So we're going to get the show done a little bit earlier today. Hopefully we'll have this up around noon today. I got a lot going on too, you know. We got some Mississippi State sports to talk about. A lot going on in the world of Mississippi State these days. Very busy time of year. And just when, you know, March Madness begins to kind of subside, spring football starts, you know. So no rest for the weary, not that we're complaining. But, really disappointed in the outcome last night, as you guys are as well. And, the thing about it is, and this is one of the things that I think about when I'm out driving by myself or, you know, I'm sitting there watching a ball game. I just wish we could find some measure of consistency, really with one sport of the major sports. I mean, obviously we had a great soccer season, but that wasn't really on the radar, right? But so many expectations for this Mississippi State men's basketball team, and they're still reachable, okay, for the most part. We're not going to finish where we probably should have in the SEC standings. Now we're faced with really having to go win a road game at a very difficult venue to finish 500 in this league. And listen, I get it. It's a historic year in the league. But we have let some games get away from us, and last night was one of them. I really thought once we tied it and forced overtime, we're going to have a chance to win. But it is so difficult at times being a Mississippi State fan. It is. And especially the last few years, right? I mean, let's just kind of call it for what it is. You know, it's like in the beginning, like of the Chris Jans tenure, you know, that team had so many obstacles to overcome. And yet we still made the tournament. And we were so excited. It's like, yes, yes, we get to fill out a bracket and put our name in it. And then we didn't lose. We lost a play-in game, right? The first 4, as they call it. But we were so happy because, like, hey, this is just, you know, we're just laying the foundation. You know, now 3 years into this thing, you know, the expectation is to go to the tournament. And we were hoping to avoid the 8-9 game, and that may not happen now. You know, I mean, so I don't want to ever undersell the importance of making the NCAA tournament because we have made it just 13 times in our history, contrary to the belief of so many. Now, granted, there were some times that we qualified to go and weren't allowed to go, right? You guys know the story of the game of change. But it is not the regular occurrence that some people think that it is. It's not. And some people have kind of sold you a bill of goods in that respect. It's kind of like, you know, people think we should host every year in baseball. I want to host every year in baseball too. But we since they changed the format back in 99, we've hosted 5 times, 2 of those under Chris Simonis. Oh, you didn't know? Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. You know, I try to shoot it straight with you guys, but But yeah, I mean, at this point, it's hard to maybe feel great. I still feel good about the team, and depending on matchups, you never know what's going to happen in a tournament. You never know. This team is capable of beating anybody, except maybe Auburn, right? I mean, if we saw Kentucky again on a neutral floor, knowing what we know now, you would believe before that game tipped off, Mississippi State could find a way to win it or lose it. You know what I'm saying? And so this is still a very talented team. They're streaky at times. But last night was a disappointing result because really so much was riding on that, right? I mean, because like, you know, I ran the numbers yesterday. Jerry Palm had us as a 5 seed. Lenardi as a 7. Well, you know, we're going to drop, you know, for sure. I mean, that's just kind of the reality of life. But nevertheless, I ran a story yesterday too. I don't know if you guys know this, but Mississippi State has had the men and the women in the NCAA tournament only a handful of times. Were you aware of that? Maybe I was curious myself. And so usually when I'm curious about things, I just go do the research and write an article. Because I figure, and maybe this is narcissistic thinking, but I figure if I've seen it all and done it all and I'm curious about something, if I don't know something, then maybe you'd like to know it too. But yeah, we've had the men and the women in the NCAA tournament just 5 times in our history. Of course, the women's tournament didn't become a thing until 1982, which is a shame in and of itself. But yeah, 02, 03, 09, 19, and 23. Those are the only 5 times that we've had both teams participate in the NCAA tournament. The next step in that process is only been 1 time that they both won a game. And that was in 2002. So, you know, a chance for us to make some history. I mean, it's all history in that respect, but a chance for us to, you know, to hit a new milestone in many respects. But, yeah, we're going to break down the game a little bit. We're going to talk about that and kind of look ahead here. But, yeah, I didn't think that we would – and I hate to say lay an egg because I thought we really played hard down the stretch. But you look up and it's like, you know, you're down 11. Right, it's like that 11-0 run to close the first half really was the difference in the ball game. And it's like you get so caught up sometimes in all these moments, but that was really kind of the defining moment. And then we come out in the second half, and every time we'd cut it to like 6 or 3, they take it right back out to 9. And then there's this fast flurry at the end, and we really ratchet up the defensive pressure, and we ultimately tie the game. And, man, RJ Melendez, what a great addition that he's been for us, really has been. And Riley Kugel at times has been kind of streaky too. Kind of we've gone kind of as he's gone at times. But, you know, he had some big things for us last night, and we just couldn't pull it off. And this is a Texas team that was playing with desperation. They're fighting for their NCAA tournament lives. And that's the thing that's so incredibly frustrating is that we have a – you know, one of the worst teams record-wise within the league come to our home venue and win when we're fighting for seeding ourselves. That just does not sit well with me. It's true. But, you know, and God forbid you get out on Twitter and try to enjoy the basketball game. I mean, my gosh. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. Love Bulldog Burger Company, have for a long time, was one of their first customers. Yeah, and have been back so many times I can't even count. And the thing that I love about Bulldog Burger Company is I am so impressed with the consistency, right? I know when I go in there, I am going to get what I expect, which is a great meal at a great price with a great atmosphere, great service, great selection. I love it. I do. And I'm the kind of person, when I find something that works for me, I just kind of stick with it. You know, I don't need to go do a bunch more research. I don't just eat for nourishment. I eat for enjoyment. And I enjoy a meal at Bulldog Burger Company every opportunity that I have to get one. I'm sure you feel the same way. And if you don't, you need to get to know them. 3 great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that. It's true. That's how I've been able to maintain this youthful appearance and exuberance all these years. Credit the spring rolls. And get that chocolate shake to go, and you can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's take a look back. And it hurts, right? It's like oh, I know some people like Steve. I don't even want to listen to this part of the show because it hurts, man. It does. It hurts because we are so emotionally invested in this. And it's like in a sellout crowd last night, and there were so many people that braved the weather and the elements, and they came. And man, you guys are awesome. You know, it wasn't a capacity crowd because there were some people that stayed home. But I just felt so incredibly proud of the crowd that said, you know what, this is the last home game for so many of these guys, and I want to be there. I want to be there for them. I want to support them. My last chance to enjoy basketball in Humphrey Coliseum this year, and I want to be there. And so to those fans that showed up and were so incredibly into the game from start to finish, and you guys created an incredible home court environment for us, thank you. And I am confident that Chris Jans and all the players feel exactly the same way. You know, you guys showed up and you showed out. You did your part. We just didn't get it done. And I want to go back here. This, you know, there's two segments of the game that I want to go back and look at. Is your Bulldogs fall to 20-10 and now 8-9 in the conference. And again, now we got to win a road game in Arkansas to finish 500. It's not great. But there's a couple of sequences here that I want to go back and talk about, and then we'll kind of, you know, look ahead, and we'll recap the numbers and that kind of stuff. But it just, you know, it was like all of a sudden we're like, hey, we're good. You know, we're good. Everything is kind of going okay. We've kind of absorbed that first punch, and we should be in a good position here, kind of close out the half, you know, get into the halftime locker room kind of feeling good about life. And that's not what happened at all. It truly isn't, but I thought our energy was good early on. I really did. There's sometimes you have these games and you're a little bit emotional, and the senior day ceremony at times can be a little bit of a distraction, but I didn't think any of that was a problem for us. I mean, you come out there, you know, 13-minute mark, and State is up 8, and you're thinking to yourself, man, we got a chance to, you know, kind of get loose on these boys. That's kind of how I felt. You know, I was like, hey, you know, we're already up 8. Got a good chance to stretch this thing out to double digits here. Before the break. And the next thing you know, it's a tie game. I mean, just, you know, 3 minutes later, it's a tie game. And a lot of it's because we weren't hitting shots. We had a lot of empty possessions. And then they hit a three to take the lead. And I didn't get the sense that there was any, like, panic. Even among our crowd, everybody's like, you know, it's a basketball game against an SEC opponent. There's going to be some ebb and flow, but man, we struggled again, defending the perimeter shot. That has been our Achilles heel, and that's the thing I worry about, like in a first-round matchup. You know, we're going to get paired up with somebody out there that's just kind of, you know, a team that specializes in that, and if they do, we're probably going to be in trouble. I mean, I'm just going to call it for what it is. I'm not. That's not being negative, but it's just kind of being a realist. We are having a very difficult time defending the perimeter, and that has been, you know, prevalent throughout the year. And speaking of long balls, you know, RJ Melendez hits a jumper here and then comes back and hits a three to push State out to a 6-point lead with about 4:30 to go. And at this point, I'm sure you guys felt like me. I was like, okay, well, this is kind of the settling of the game. You know, we absorb that initial punch, they make their run, we come back here. You know, we're good. Yeah, everything is good. As a matter of fact, with just under 4 minutes to play in the first half, we're up 6. Everything is great until it wasn't. All of a sudden, they start hitting shots, and we're missing layups. You know, and those are the kind of things that happen. You know, you got to get stops, but you also got to get the ball in the basket. I mean, that sounds like a hot take, but it seems to be a concept at times that we struggle with. They pull even, you know, after a pair of free throws to make it a 32-32 all game. And we foul again, you know. And I thought the call on Kugel was a little bit, you know, light. And there were some calls last night. I didn't think that crew had a good night for both teams. Because late in that ball game, we fouled, and the ball goes out of bounds, and rather than them shoot two, we get the possession. Now, we squandered it, but it was not a good night for this crew. And that's one thing that I get tired of talking about this stuff, but we need to do one of two things. We need to stop using the SEC motto of it just means more, or we've got to fix officiating. Because you can't have both. You can't say it just means more when you keep trotting these bums out here that just don't do a good job. And listen, I get it. It's a difficult job. And that's the thing about basketball officiating that I think is different than many other sports. You blow the whistle as an official, the game stops, and everybody's looking at you. And you got to make a call. You make a mistake in a football game, you can go pick up the flag. You make a mistake in a baseball game other than balls and strikes, and you can get together with the crew and you can reverse the call. It rarely ever happens in basketball. And so I understand it is a very difficult job. I coached basketball, unbeknownst to many. Won a couple city championships as a coach in Baton Rouge. But nevertheless, I understand that being a basketball official is challenging. But you can't tell me we can't do better than what we got last night. And it's been one of those things this year. It's like, watching basketball this year, like there's always going to be, like, when we're emotionally invested in a basket and it doesn't go the way we thought, like, immediately you think, oh, I thought he got fouled. And you go back and watch the tape when you remove the emotion from it, and it's like, no, he didn't, right? It's just good defensive play, or he lost it going up. There's a lot to that. But I thought last night, just objectively, and you could see it out there in social media too, people are like, this crew is doing terrible. And they were terrible. But all of a sudden, you look up here, and that six-point lead that Mississippi State had has been squandered, and now all of a sudden, Texas is up five going to the break. That whole sequence down the stretch there, it just changed the complexity of the game. And so we get into the second half, and you think, okay, all right, Jans is, is a guy that makes good halftime adjustments. It's very rare their team comes out his first few minutes and kind of puts it on us, right? We came out trying to establish the outside game and didn't really work for us. And then all of a sudden, Tremont Mark hits another three and it got a little quiet, right? And for a minute, people are like, okay, we got to get going. State begins to kind of battle back there. And it felt like we were going to be okay, but we couldn't get stops. And those are the things, that's probably the one thing that I can say that has been probably the biggest surprise to me is how difficult it has been for us to get stops in the second half. When we have a coaching staff that is a defensive guru, and you've seen it, that's not just hyperbole. I mean, Chris Jans is a tremendous defensive coach. But I think now that he's been in the league for a couple years, there's some tape out there, right? People... he was kind of out there in New Mexico, kind of hiding in the reeds a little bit, and people didn't really watch it a lot. Now, all of a sudden, he's in the SEC. You got some of the best coaches in all college basketball breaking down your film and exploiting your tendencies. So there's clearly some things we got to fix. We got to change some things. But, 15 minutes to play, and guys, we're down 11. We're down 11 in this ballgame. And I text my guys in my group text, and I was like, guys, I think this thing is over. I don't even think I said I think. I said, man, this thing is over. But the Bulldogs didn't think so. And give them a ton of credit for coming back and just kind of hanging in there. Because we kept just kind of chipping away and chipping away and chipping away and couldn't get over the hump. And then we finally do, right? I remember, matter of fact, the bride called and take a call from her. And I kind of get distracted. I look up and I'm like, holy smokes, man, we've cut this thing down to just two. I said, hey, let me let you go so I can watch the end of this game. Because there were so many times it felt like, hey, we'd get to within a basket, they would take it right back out and extend the lead. And again, give our kids some credit for having a little mental fortitude here and not just buying into, it's just not our night. They're just red hot. We're not going to be able to stop them, right? But it felt like every time that we needed to get a stop, they would hit a big basket. I mean, Trey Johnson was outstanding last night for Texas. That guy's a star. There's no doubt about it. And the same could be said in many respects for Tremont Mark. I mean, it just seemed like every time they needed a big basket, even with the clock winding down, one of those two would drill a big basket, and a lot of times it was a three-pointer. And so you look up here, it's a nine-point game again, with just under 4 minutes to play. It's just like, you know what, I know how this thing is going to work. I've seen this movie so many times. But State stays in there. Yeah, they stay in there. You know, it's like it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy when you start thinking, hey, we're going to lose this game. Right? And there are a lot of people, I've got a lot of fans out there too that kind of lay the groundwork, then come back later and say, I told you so. And that's not just germane to Mississippi State. But all of a sudden, you know, Hub makes the big three, and all of a sudden, State's down four, 69-65. And the crowd was electric. It's like, hey, it's like our Bulldog fans were trying to will this team across the finish line. They're trying to provide the fuel necessary to complete this comeback. It was amazing. It was. And clearly, both teams were impacted by that. And you get, you know, the Keyshawn Murphy layup. So, we're, you know, it's like, hey, guys, we're within two. With a minute to play, we just got to get a stop. And lo and behold, we do. Cam gets the...
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Steal, and then here we go, right? And then this was not a cheap call. I know some people were upset on social media. Cam absolutely had the moving screen. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, you know? And next thing you know, they're up four, 71-67. Mark with the big shot there. And I didn't think we defended it well at all. Nwoko at times, to me, it's like we just kind of do the token hand in the face. We don't really get out and contest a shot. But anyway, 16 seconds to play, and you think this thing is in the books. Well, they end up, you know, we get a foul. There was a part of me, I was like, as he got contact, I was hoping Hub would just throw it up and maybe it goes in. But nevertheless, too, and he makes them both. And then, again, incredible play. Incredible play. And what a great job, again, Chris Jans kind of coaching up the pressure here. They turn it over. Melendez gets it. He finds Kugel for the layup. And we score. Now we've got to defend for 9 seconds. We do. Mark just kind of throws up a desperation three. We get the rebound. And now all of a sudden, I've convinced myself, we're going to win the game because the emotional toll taken on a team like Texas, that you've come in here and it's like, hey, this is a must-win game for us, and then your best efforts, you still couldn't close it out, and you end up going overtime. And give that coaching staff a ton of credit. They came out ready to go. You know, Pope hits a jumper. We miss a shot, and next thing you know, you look up, and you know, State's down five. I mean, before anybody has even gotten comfortable in overtime, we're down five. Melendez gets going, and we get a basket. We end up getting a foul on Keyshawn Murphy. And again, where would we be without Keyshawn Murphy? I say it all the time. I guess had a hell of a year for Mississippi State. So we cut it down to just two, and again, they take it right back out. Trey Johnson with the three, and I thought this was one of those threes too. It just seemed like a destiny-type thing. You know, it's like when this thing goes up, it's on target, but it's like it's kind of an awkward shot. You know, it's like he just kind of like willed that thing across the rim. Not a textbook mechanical shot by any stretch. And then, you know, we miss a three, and it just, you know, we get that crazy run out there where we just kind of tapped it ahead, you know, and Kugel just kind of forces it out there to Cam, and I don't know that Cam even had full possession until he dunked it. But it, you know, kept you in the game, and again, it's the quick score. You know, two-possession game, you need to get the quick score. And then we have a lapse defensive. We let them take it right back out to five. And that's really the difference in the ball game, right? Even though we pulled even at 82-82, we have a foul. Josh Hubbard gets called for the foul. And I thought this was a weak call, okay? I agree with all of you, and I compliment you folks at the hump and didn't throw stuff. This was a terrible call. The ball is rolling loose, right? It's a scramble on the floor, and Josh gets called for the foul. It also saved him from a 10-second violation. And again, if you let everybody scramble, what happened, and I believe this, I believe the official anticipated the call. I didn't think it was a call. Well, they made one of two free throws. And so you still have a chance to win it. I mean, you got the ball back, you know. Everything's good to go, right? And, you know, that's the thing. I so many times you look at these games and everything just kind of comes rushing back. You know, we talk about free throws, and there were some big free throws that we missed, but, man, we had a good night at the line. But here we are in our own gym in a game that we probably shouldn't be in at this point, still with a chance to win. And, we don't. And Kugel misses the two free throws, you know. It's like you're down one at the line with one of your better free throw shooters, and at worst you expect to tie it. But you could take the lead, and then they're going to probably set up for one shot. And instead, you have to end up fouling to put them at the line. And essentially that puts the game away. You know, yeah, we get the ball back, you're down three, but they get a stop, and we have to foul. And that's how things run out for us. But you couldn't have asked for much more after that game to be at the line with a chance to take the lead in the final seconds. And we didn't convert. Simple as that. It'd be one thing if they just made a play, right? They didn't. Trey Johnson with 23 points last night. He was 6 of 9 from beyond the arc. You had Arthur Kalima with 10, Caden Shedrick with 10, and then Tremont Mark, 24 points off the bench. It's 4 of 6 and beyond the arc. They were 11 of 23. When you shoot nearly 50%, it's a good chance of winning. We didn't shoot it well at times. But, you know, pretty good even distribution of offensive output for the Bulldogs. Josh Hubbard with 16. Most of that came at the line. You remember, he didn't score in the first half. 9 of 10 at the line. Just that one big three-point basket. And every one that he shot, he was under duress. R.J. Melendez, 6 of 11 from the field for 15 points. And really nothing bigger for him than that big steal late. Cam Matthews with a dozen points. Took a couple three-point shots. One of them was ill-advised. But, hey, it's senior night. Kugel with a dozen points. 5 of 9 from the line. And, of course, 4 misses. And they all matter. But could have absolutely changed, you know, the trajectory of that final possession if you make it. Michael Nwoko plays 11 minutes. Just 2 points, 2 rebounds. Keyshawn, 13 and 7 in 30 minutes of action. Sean Jones, who again is just kind of a glue guy for us, and when we needed him, I thought he really stepped up last night. 10 points for him. Knocked down a 3-point basket. Connected on all of his free throws. Claude O'Harris kind of disappeared on us a little bit last night. 2 points, 17 minutes. So now we get ready to go play Arkansas. And I've worried about this for a couple weeks just because of the fact that, you know, number one, it's Arkansas. And we've taken some really good teams up there and come home with losses when we've been good and we've been great. It's a difficult place to play, no matter kind of how they are. You know, they're just one of those teams that are going to kind of get after you. Just kind of is what it is. But now you look at it and it's like, you know what, we got to win this thing. And, of course, there's still an opportunity to improve your standing, right? Even though the tournament committee does not give you a ton of leeway in your conference tournament because not everybody's playing for the same things. But you still got a chance to kind of improve the resume. But going to Arkansas on Saturday is a huge game for Mississippi State. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And it just feels like, you know what, we let one get away. And, you know, we have not been nearly as good at home as we expected to be. We're 10-5 at home. Now, granted, you know, some of those home games have been against some quality teams. Don't get me wrong. But you got to win and protect the home court. Now, we've negated some of those losses because we've been at times really good on the road. And we're going to have to be come Saturday. So your Bulldogs now 8-9 in the league. And so it's going to be very difficult for us to kind of move up here. You know, Kentucky's 9-8, Ole Miss 9-7. Of course, they'll play tonight. Yeah, but Arkansas, 7-10. You know, they've won one game winning streak, I guess. But it's just going to be awfully interesting how this thing kind of shakes loose. And I know we're in the tournament, but man, I wanted to avoid that 8-9 game, of course. I mean, you never know, because your reward if you win is you get a 1, right? But I don't want to be a university or an athletics program that just wants to make the tournament, right? There was a time that was appropriate, right? It's like we hadn't been in forever. We just want to make the tournament, right? But you want that to be a building block. I don't want us to just be happy with, okay, we hang another banner, right? We went to the NCAA tournaments. We got to update the graphics. I want to play for substantial things in every sport. It's the same thing in baseball. I don't want to just be happy making a regional. You know, I know some years that's, you know, that's it. Now, that to me, that should always be, you know, the floor at Mississippi State. A road regional. Making a road regional should be, you know, the minimum standard at Mississippi State baseball. And I'd like to think that we can get to a point, and I understand it's very difficult to make tournament every year, but if we make tournament, you know, 3 out of every 5 years, you know, I think most people would be happy with that. But we got to do something more. And I really think this team is capable of, you know, getting a first-round win. And I felt all year long that we could get to the Sweet 16. And a lot of it was going to depend on matchups. But we're making those matchups a lot more difficult because we're not taking care of business. And, of course, you know, tonight, Florida is at Alabama. That should be a barn burner of a game. Missouri's at Oklahoma. Tennessee's at Ole Miss. So, you know, again, we've missed an opportunity to kind of catch those guys, and not just because they're the rival, but because of the fact that they're one of those teams just ahead of us in the standings. So that's how those things will play out. And, you know, we'll see, you know, what's left for us. You know, but, you know, like, you know, Arkansas goes into Nashville and beats them last night 90-77. I mean, does that really do anything to inspire confidence? You know, they're 18-12 overall, 7-10 in the league. And, you know, the thing that I guess it frustrates me, and again, I understand the quality of the league, but I look down here, you know, at the bottom, and, you know, there's five teams or four teams at the bottom. Texas, Oklahoma, LSU, South Carolina. We're 2-2 against those teams. That can't be. That cannot be. You can't go 2-2 against the four worst teams in a 16-team league. So I guess it's time for us to name our close with Blair, player of the game. Blair Chandler is our friend in the mortgage industry. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Blair, 24 years of experience in the mortgage lending industry. You need a professional when you're dealing with something as important as your mortgage, because you can get in a bad deal. You can pay fees, perhaps, that you shouldn't. A lot of people out there kind of vying for your business. Stick with a winner like Blair Chandler. Has a place here in Starkville, multiple season ticket holder in multiple sports, and rides a wave of emotion just like you do. He, matter of fact, Blair's in my group text, and we kind of commiserated last night about the ball game. But whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair is the name to know and the name to trust. Again, get his expertise working for you. He can structure your loan that gives you the best chance of approval. Get that pre-qualification letter, too. You want to see your real estate agent kind of go into hyperdrive. Blair can help you with that, with that pre-qualification letter. And it's just one of those things, too. It just saves time and effort for everybody involved. Saves a lot of time and effort getting that pre-qualification letter because you know exactly what you're shopping for. You don't want to go out there and getting a bad deal on a home that's above your means. But our player of the game on the Mississippi State side, obviously, we could go a lot of different directions here. I'm going to go with R.J. Melendez is our close with Blair closer of the game. Again, 15 points, 8 rebounds. But I really thought he really helped out on the defensive end, had a couple of steals and a block. But that last sequence there where he makes the heady play and then finds Riley Kugel, and again, just shows you his basketball IQ. So R.J. Melendez, your close with Blair, player of the game. All right, time for today's top 10 list. And as you guys know, we're now working with Kalito Guitars for the top 10 list. And it kind of makes sense, right? It does. Appreciate the feedback already. Some people are like, you know what, Steve, I've got some guitar players in my life. I'm always looking for a good instrument. Well, look no further than our friends at Kalito, a great guitar store in Lake Jackson, Texas, about an hour south of Houston, and it's owned and operated by Mississippi State folks. They sell electric, acoustic, and classical guitars. They're known for high-quality instruments, exemplary customer service, and expert advice. Kalito Guitars desires to help you find the best guitar for your playing needs. They sell guitars for beginners, professionals. They're just, you know, they do a little bit of everything. They do cases, gig bags, you know, whatever you need. So go to KalitoGuitars.com or call 979-297-4733. And because you're a Bulldog, use coupon code BSR. You know that well. That gets you 10% off your purchase, free shipping, and no sales tax unless you live within the state of Texas. And there's a 5% donation to the Bulldog Initiative / Bulldog Excellence Fund to give you some incentive. So you're not just taking care of your guitar playing needs, you're helping Mississippi State at the same time. That's one of those things that they approached me with because they are Bulldogs through and through and said, hey, we'd like to do this. Well, I could partner with you, Steve, number one, to support the show and advertise our business, but also support Mississippi State. It's KalitoGuitars.com, C-A-L-I-D-O, guitars.com. And if you need the link, for some reason can't find it, hit me up. I'm happy to provide it. Okay, today's a guilty pleasure day. There is some guitars, obviously, in her music, and I have loved JoJo since the beginning. And JoJo has a new album out. Now, she's had an interesting career, right? Had some disputes with record companies, and you know, it felt like that some people kind of fashioned her a little bit as a bit of a one-hit wonder. Like, well, hey, we'll just kind of ride the wave of this because she was on that America's Got Talent for Kids thing, and they kind of treated her like a one-off. But that first album was such a hit. They did the second album, and I thought was even better. And then some disputes. So it took a while. She was kind of on hiatus for a bit, put her own label together, came back, took more control of her own career. And now she's back. An album that came out here about 6 weeks ago for you JoJo fans. But I dig JoJo. And, she's a Jersey girl. And debut album came back in 04 is JoJo. And then The High Road comes out in 06. And it's 10 years between albums 2 and 3. And since that time, she's put some pretty good things together. If you don't know the Good to Know album, you probably should. There's also some acoustic stuff on there, so you can use your Koleto guitar to maybe pick that out. How about that? So here we go. Top 10 songs from JoJo. And, you know, she also has done some acting and things like that. An incredible performer. And I think in many respects kind of mislabeled by some people. She is a pop star in many respects, but it's really more on kind of the R&B side. And there's some people that were uncomfortable with that, but it is what it is. So number 10 is the third single off that debut album, JoJo. It did not get maximum radio release, but it is a very catchy track called Not That Kind of Girl. Not That Kind of Girl. And I don't know what kind of girl JoJo is. I just know that when she sings, I really enjoy it. All right, number 9. Really enjoyed this track too, and this is off the new album. There are a couple of advanced singles off the new NGL, Not Gonna Lie, album that came out in late January. It's a track, Too Much to Say. I think you'll dig it. Ready to Love is another one that's been released, but I prefer Too Much to Say. I like the intro to this one a lot. You can tell production value on this album is really good. All right, number 8. I'm a big Jodeci guy, too. You may not know that. You look at the tattoo and the hairs. But Jodeci, it's the first album that I bought in sobriety. So it wasn't like some drunken night purchase, you know, out of Tower Records on Bourbon Street or Canal. But the reality of it is that I have enjoyed Jodeci. And so JoJo does a duet with JoJo from Jodeci. You also know him from KC and JoJo. And it's a track called Say So. And basically, it's like, hey, if you really love me, I need you to say so. I'm a words of affirmation person, right? I don't just need to see it. I need to hear it. I do. It's just, that's how I'm built, right? So I enjoy the sentiment behind the track. I think you'll enjoy it, too. It's very well done. I think, number one, both vocal deliveries are great. But I think it was a really, really good choice for her. All right, so we're going to go with our number 7 track that is kind of interesting, too, just because of the fact that, you know, it's one of these songs that kind of exemplifies where she was in her life. And this comes off the Good to Know album, I believe is right. I believe. Yes, it's a comeback with Tori Lanez and 30 Rock. And a lot of collaborations kind of later in her career as people want to work with her. But yeah, the song has come back, and I think it's it kind of goes for what you think, right? It's not just about losing a relationship, you know. It's just kind of about finding yourself. All right, number 6, and this is a song that a lot of people were kind of I don't know, maybe hesitant to get behind. And I think it's a great song. And it's so interesting, you know, the things that people get their feelings hurt about. And this is one of those songs, people, that when it came out, I remember there was a little bit of angst about it because some people were like, hey, well, this is just kind of inappropriate. I think so, people's idea of what's inappropriate and what's not sometimes is off kilter, if you don't mind me saying so. But it's from the second album, which is The High Road. And it's a track called How to Touch a Girl. And it's not necessarily physically speaking. It's just kind of like, this is a young lady kind of explaining to a young guy, hey, this is how love and life work. And it's really one of those things, too, I think young people, it's kind of a roadmap in many respects on what a real relationship should be. And it's so interesting, too. I mean, you know, you hear the statistics these days about how, you know, things have changed. You know, my generation, you know, we were talking about the generation of excess. But then you look at kind of what's happening in the world today. I mean, you know, some of these body count numbers are ridiculous compared to what we did, or some of you. But so we've got number 5 now. It's a collaboration with Wiz Khalifa, who I dig too. We probably should have a Wiz Khalifa top 10. You know, Black and Yellow would be on there somewhere. There's really no question about that. But this is a song, too, that not quite as gentle, shall we say. I think that's important to understand. And it's interesting how it all kind of comes to be as we put these lists together. And this is a PG-13 show, so we're going to be careful with this. But it's F, Apologies. Right? F, Apologies. And you can do the math there. But that's basically kind of what it's about, right? There's seems so much out there that, you know, people want to do and act as they choose, and they think that they can say sorry and that makes it all right, and it doesn't. There's just so much to that. And I remember something my dad told me years ago: don't waste your time apologizing to people or explaining yourself, because your friends don't need it and your enemies won't believe it. There's some truth in that too. But I'm not above saying I'm sorry when I'm wrong. As the people that love me can attest. Now, the last four are songs I think you're going to know really well. If you followed JoJo's career at all and you were a fan of Top 40 music in the early 2000s, we're going back to the second single from the debut album. It's Baby, It's You. You know, it's like, I got all these things in my life and I could do this and I could do that, but the thing that gets me most excited is you. Cool thing. Number three, and I like this one. This is probably maybe not as big a hit in the minds of some of you, but it's one of my favorite JoJo songs, and it's a track called Anything. Absolutely love this. The beat is good. The tempo is good. Good message behind it, too. I think you'll really have some fun with that one. Now we're down to the top two, and for those of you that are JoJo fans, this is kind of where the controversy comes in, right, is what's one and what's two. Well, the song that kind of put her on the national stage, it's the first single off that debut album, is Leave, Get Out, right? It's a song about breaking up. Many of you, that was your gateway song into JoJo, and that would be your number one. It's not my number one, and it's not for any philosophical or personal reasons. I just prefer the number one song a little bit better. And I love JoJo's kind of airy vocal delivery on this, and there's one point where you can tell she's just kind of feeling it. She kind of lets out a little bit of a yell. You know, it's more of a woo, I guess. But when the song is really going, you can tell that this song is very personal to her. And there's some authenticity with this. And number one is Too Little Too Late. And this is a great, great pop song. I absolutely love it. And even though it has nothing to do with my own personal life, there are times I'll just kind of call it up and listen to it. And I think that's the glory of a great song, right? Is that, you know, hey, we all want to have like some relatable experience. And there's a soundtrack to your life often that is fueled by songs that that you found at either a high or a low point in your life. And so the song takes on some importance. But I think some songs, even if you don't have any personal connection to the lyrical content, that you just say, you know what, this is a great song. That's how I feel about this one. I mean, I've been with the same woman since I was 20 years old, right? And so it's like when I listen to Here I Go Again from Whitesnake, right? I'll be singing along to that, man, just feeling like that, you know, here I go again, going down the only road I've ever known. Well, the only road I've really ever known is being with Dana, right? And so I love and appreciate the song, even though it doesn't have any personal connection to me. And that's this song. I think this is absolutely the best JoJo song. And I think there are a lot of people out there that maybe, again, kind of dismissed her as a little bit of a TV star pretending to be a singer. And I think this song really validated her as a performer. So I hope you have a good time with it. I hope you enjoy the list. Probably not what you were expecting from me. I got some guilty pleasures, too. You know, I still listen to Information Society and Depeche Mode and even Richard Marx. It's true. I'm not just a headbanger all the time. I mean, when I travel sometimes, I listen to a lot of podcasts and things like that. But other times, I'll just kind of pick a song and just kind of let it go. You know, that ultimate scroll on iTunes. And you find cool stuff. You never know what you're going to enjoy, you know. Things find you. And that's kind of how it was with JoJo. I remember when this song was so incredibly popular. And my girls absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved JoJo. And so here we are, all these years later. Again, new music out from JoJo. Be sure and check that out. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit us up on X. You can find Roy Samanthi, my friend, at Dogmatic67. That's DawgMatic67. And then find our great list on Spotify or that same handle. And I'm on all forms social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. Chances are you do too. And if you don't, it's just because you hadn't shopped there yet. And shame on you if you haven't, right? Best selection of Mississippi State merchandise in the known universe. Be sure and check it out. A lot of people make the claim to that throne, but they are pretenders rather than contenders. Be sure and check it out next time you're in town. Neatly positioned on the backside of campus, just make that turn off 182 at the Trooper Station. We always encourage you to obey the posted speed limit signs as you travel. But you make that turn there and then just follow it around. And right before you get to campus, right there on the left, there's Campus Bookmart. You can go in there and see their smiling faces and peruse their fine selections. And this is always something that I recommend. The diploma frames is such a great gift. It's a timeless gift, right? Because when you have your Mississippi State grad, you're so proud for them. And how cool would it be to be the favorite aunt or uncle or grandparent to get them that great quality diploma frame? And graduation's coming up here soon, just a couple months. You need to be thinking about that, kind of get ahead of the game. You can order those online at campusbookmart.net. And while you're there, buy yourself some new Mississippi State gear. My books are also available there too. So you can save some money on shipping. We'll give you a promo code. It's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gives you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, Mississippi State's going to play baseball today against Southern Miss. Southern Miss playing well. And listen, give them some credit. We knew it was going to be a good team this year. And it has proven to be maybe even better than some people anticipated outside of Hattiesburg. Golden Eagles now 9-3 on the year, 7-1 at home, and then 2-2 in away games, and we're playing this thing at our place, so it's an away game for them. But they open up the year, of course, they sweep Lafayette, they get us 3-0 down there. And one of the things about that game that I think gets lost in the emotion of living is how well we pitched that game. We lose, but we actually pitched it really well. We made some errors in the ball game that cost us. But, the first run of the ball game scores on a pass ball. And there's the solo home run, and then later in the second inning, there's a throwing error. Charlie tries to pick a guy off, and next thing you know, we got him picked off. We throw the ball away, and he comes around to score, But so basically, a couple of unearned runs kind of made that game seem a little more distant than it really was. It's just kind of, that's just how it is. You got a freshman on the road in a hostile environment and didn't have his best outing. But when you get through that, and Charlie came back that second inning and was better, he only allows one hit in the game. And in three runs, two of them unearned. Three strikeouts, a couple walks. But after that, Ben Davis comes in, and Ben Davis may be our best middle reliever right now. I don't know if there's much question about it. Ben goes three innings, two hits, strikes out four, doesn't walk anybody. Evan Sierra comes in, gives up a hit, strikes out one. Really good inning. He did have one hit by pitch, but works around it. Fortenberry comes in, doesn't walk anybody. Chase Hungate comes in, doesn't give up a hit, doesn't walk anybody. And so Southern Miss held the four hits in that ball game. And they only walked twice. We struck out eight, and then they walked two, and that all came against Foster early on. And so I thought, again, we pitched it well. And your pitching matchups now are known, and we'll get to that here shortly. Wrote that story yesterday to kind of prepare you. And I've been doing scouting reports too, kind of leaning on my sources to get you guys some analytical data about the pitchers that we're facing. And so you can read those for free until we get into SEC play. But just kind of give you an idea, right? But after Southern Miss beat us, they took the first two from Louisiana Tech, and then they lose the Sunday, the back end of a doubleheader. It was scheduled for Sunday. They ended up playing both games on Saturday. They lose that game 5-2. and then go to Oxford and get shelled 15-8, and then lose game one against TCU in Fort Worth. It's a three-game losing streak, and people are thinking, well, they're coming back to earth. But no, Southern Miss bounces back and takes the series at TCU. And in the decisive rubber game, the Golden Eagles win going away 11-3. Yeah, so it wasn't like it was a fluke thing. This is a really good Southern Miss team, and certainly worthy of our respect. And Oz and those guys do a great job down there. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But just kind of looking at some team hitting numbers here, kind of seeing how people have progressed, you know, kind of since then, because things have settled a little bit, you know. Such a small sample size, and we played them. They'd only played four games. And, again, they didn't hit it well against us. They hit it well against, you know, Lafayette. And that's not Louisiana Lafayette. That's Lafayette. But Joey Urban, who hit the solo home run against State, the only home run he's hit this year, currently leading the team with a 324 average. A dozen hits, and he's just the three RBI, but you know, he's a guy that's hit farther down in the order, but he has been a very productive guy. Jake Cook hitting 320, Matthew Russo hitting 311, and then Ozzie Pratt, again, veteran guy, it's been there for a little while, 310. So four hitters now above 300. And some other people have kind of come back down a little bit. You know, Davis Gillespie was really rolling early on. He still leads the team with four home runs. Nick Monastir, who should probably be a doctor. It feels like they've had a Monastir there since I was there and lived in Hattiesburg years ago. But hitting out 273, but three tanks on the year. They've got, you know, 17 home runs already. Now, granted, some of that, too, is, you know, quality competition. But they can swing it. Now, it's going to be a different day today. It's windy up here. We don't know what the wind pattern looks like at Duty Noble yet. But it's also, it's chilly, and there's a moisture in the air. But as a team, they're now hitting 278. 278, 17 tanks, and 77 RBI. Their opponents have hit just 9 home runs, driven in just 41 runs, hitting 215 against them. And so your Bulldogs are going to send Jacob Pruitt to the mound. That should be no surprise. He had a really good outing against Southern Miss last year. Walks were a little bit of a problem. But if we get the Jacob Pruitt we got last Tuesday, I think we can feel good about kind of where things stand. Now, they're going to send a freshman, Camden Sumstrom, who has not pitched a whole lot. This will be his first collegiate start. He is a freshman out of Baton Rouge. He went to University Lab School, which is affectionately known as U-High. And he was part of the group that won the first ever state championship at U-High. Really good baseball program there. They've had really good basketball programs over the years. And in many respects, University High is kind of like a feeder school for LSU in many respects. So he has played high-quality high school baseball, also was a travel team guy. But no record, three appearances, all in relief. He has an ERA of 3.86. He's thrown just 4.2 innings on the year, allowed one hit, two runs, because he's had three walks, and then four strikeouts, and gave up an RBI double. But opponents hitting less than 100 against him, 0.067 so far. But again, very small sample size. You can read the scouting report at jeanspage.com for free. But he's a freshman guy, bigger guy, got a great lower half. And so he's a guy that they expect to kind of develop into a future weekend guy. And he picked Southern Miss because of the chance to work with Ostrander. He had a chance to stay home and play at some of the directional schools in Louisiana, but opted for Southern Miss. It's also only about 2.5 hours. From Hattiesburg, Southern Miss, to Baton Rouge. So, you know, there's some schools within that state. You got to make a bigger trek home to go wash clothes or for your family to come see you play. So he is expected to start today. We figure it will be kind of a Johnny Holstaff day for them. I think Mississippi State has a greater sense of urgency, and I think what you want is you're just going to ride Pruitt as long as you can because – kind of unbeknownst to people, too. Guys, we're going to play 6 games in 8 days. Did you realize that? Right? Playing today, off Thursday, play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, off Monday, and then play in Biloxi Tuesday, Wednesday. And so, yeah, you need to get some guys some work, but you're going to have plenty of opportunities to do it. And when you've got to cover a lot of innings here. I mean, you get 27 innings a game unless you 10-run rule people, and hopefully we have some abbreviated games against Queens. And I hope to talk to Coach Hickman tomorrow. But the reality of that is you know, this is going to really, you know, stress the depth of your bullpen. And I think one of the things that you have to consider right now, if you're Chris Simonis and Parker, is, you know, you're going to see Pruitt probably two times in the next week, 3 days. Right, if you put him out here on Wednesday, when does he throw next week? Do you save him for the weekend against Texas and throw some of the young guys down there against Old Dominion and Nichols when we go to Biloxi? You know, those are things you got to consider, you know. And so Jacob Pruitt obviously, you know, had the very forgettable outing in a game that was already well decided against Manhattan. You know, the game is over. And we just need to get it over and get to post game and get everybody warm, right? And he struggled. He did. And you would think a kid from Indiana wouldn't struggle in cold weather, but he did. You know, and maybe it's just, you know, taking the mound at Duty Noble for the first time. I don't know. That's always been an issue for some guys, right? But Jacob Pruitt now, two appearances, the one start, and again, he was absolutely outstanding against Troy. And so much to the fact that people are like, why did we pull him? You know, it was first outing, kind of colder weather, but I think we'll stretch him out this evening, I think, you know. But yeah, he works the one inning against Manhattan, gives up three runs on two hits. He had two walks, one strikeout, a hit by pitch. You get one inning and you give three free bases away. You basically give three guys their way on base and give a couple hits. And, you know, it's a 17-1 ball game, and then all of a sudden it turns into a 17-3 game because, you know, you got to close it out. But against Troy last week, absolutely filthy, right? Four innings, one hit, one run, and that came on a home run. He strikes out nine, walks none, throws just 60 pitches. So, you know, I figure maybe this week you take him up to 75 or so. We'll see. But this is an important game for Mississippi State. You know, and again, you look at the games that we've lost, quality teams. But, guys, we need to win those games, right? We need to win those games. And I really felt like, you know, making that trip to Hattiesburg was going to be a tough one for us just because of the fact of who they were throwing. They're playing at home. And it's our first time leaving Duty Noble. You know, right out of the gate, you got a road game. Basically the first week of the year, but we got to win this game. Simple as that. We have to win this game. I don't think that Sundstrom should give us a lot of trouble. I don't think the stuff is very dynamic. Again, he's just a freshman. But yeah, he's got a bright future ahead of him, and this will be an interesting opportunity for him. You know, he's going to come out there, pitch at Duty Noble Field. I don't know what the crowd's going to look like. I mean, you know, it's a Wednesday, right? But it's not, you know, it's not great baseball weather. You know, we were hoping that it'd get a little warmer by now. I mean, it's already March, and I get it, you know. But I'm tired of this cold weather. But the feels-like temperature right now in Starkville is 33. Temperature is 49. But due to the wind gust and the moisture in the air, it's different. And the wind is supposed to continue until sunset. But first pitch is expected to be at 50. But again, the feels like temperature is close to freezing due to the wind. And so, different dynamic, to say the least. So, I have no idea what the crowd's going to look like, but, you know, it's going to be in the 40s during the majority of this game. I'm not ready to cut the grass, but I'm ready for some warmer weather. I can tell you that for sure. I don't know how you guys feel. Maybe you love it. I don't. But, I do enjoy baseball, and I think we've got to find a way, no matter what it takes tonight, and I understand what's in front of us, but it's just like the old song says, win the game today. Figure out winning the game today, and hopefully Pruitt goes out there and maybe gives you, you know, five or six, you know, and we'll get more into our Queens preview on Friday, and probably record that show early Friday morning. I don't know if it'll be – when I say early, you know, our definition of early may be a little bit different. But this may be a weekend where maybe you, at Mississippi State, maybe you can do some Johnny Holstaff stuff. And the reason that I, in all due respect, right, we can never disrespect any opponent. But, you know, this is a Queens team that has really struggled, and rightfully so, right? I mean, I'm just kind of calling it for what it is. I'm not being negative about these guys. I mean, those guys have worked hard just like everybody else. You know, a lot of these guys are, you know, just kind of figuring it out. But they're hitting 221 as a team. They have two people that have hit over 300 this year. And then the drop-off is pretty significant from there. They've hit 12 tanks. But, again, we'll detail this out. But this is a team that has really struggled at times to put the ball in play. They've struck out 115 times in a dozen games. You know, so you can kind of do your own math there. The strikeout ratio is ridiculous. It truly is. And so I think this weekend you can kind of get away a little bit with, number one, I expect some abbreviated games, but I think also, too, you could probably throw some guys, maybe throw a JT Schnuer this weekend and give him a chance to kind of get right and get back on the mound and kind of get comfortable. His Bulldog debut obviously was a challenge. Yeah, it was. And that's kind of how things work. But because of the fact you have so many games, I know a lot of people are like, Steve, our non-conference schedule is this. And non-conference schedule is actually proven to be pretty good, you know, with the exception of Manhattan and Queens. But there's a reason. You play them first, right, to get your feet under you, and then you play Queens the weekend before SEC play starts. And I think this is where this is a benefit in the scheduling practice, because of the fact that you've got six games in 8 days. You have an opponent on the weekend that should not be a real problem for you. I think that's a fair assessment. You know, they're 2-10 on the year, right? And so I think we should be able to put some distance between us and them pretty early on. But you know, guys, they went to App State the opening weekend and took 2 out of 3. They played that in Hickory, North Carolina. Well, they played it a little bit all over. They played it at Lenoir Ryan University. But it's so interesting. They open up taking 2 out of 3. But a lot of these games have been competitive. They lose a game to Yale 10-3 in 10 innings. That was a wild 10th inning, wouldn't you say? But they've been mercy ruled a few times this year. West Virginia, the most recent team to play them, played them. Played a four-game Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday deal against them. And three of those four games were extremely lopsided. And so, you know, we need to make sure that's the case too. But they've lost 9 games in a row. You can ill afford to take anybody lightly. But the hope is we get some separation and we can pitch some our guys, younger guys, this weekend and get them some weekend action, but also to kind of get them some work. And I think, you know, the most important game we're going to play this week is this one tonight against Southern Miss. That's an RPI climbing opportunity for us, too. But also, too, I think this team, you know, you've played a few top 25 teams. You hadn't beat any of them. And so, as a result, you dropped out of the top 25. So we need to find a way to kind of right the ship. And everybody involved with Mississippi State baseball respects Southern Miss. So you go out there, you respect them, and you play your absolute best, and hopefully Pruitt gives you a good start, and you have the opportunity at that point to get a big win and kind of get some momentum back in your corner. I didn't think we played especially poorly over the weekend, but again, as we went over on Monday's show, a few things here or there we got to clean up, you know, and I think this is a weekend where you kind of can clean up. You win tonight, you go all in to win tonight, and then you take the weekend to kind of settle your rotation ahead of SEC play. And again, I begin to think about, you know, Jacob Pruitt. He throws good again tonight. You got to move him to the weekend. I saw some people out there saying, well, he could do both. No, you can't do that. No, you can't have him start tonight and then turn around and start on Sunday. Not this early in the year. You can't do that. But what you could do is maybe have him start tonight and then maybe he gives you a couple of innings on Tuesday and then could come back maybe Sunday and give you a little bit too. But I don't think you can put him in a starting situation. People forget, like Parker Stinnett, remember that? Parker Stinnett had 2 starts in a week.
had the big outing against Texas Tech, and then I think it was Princeton we beat down here. And I don't know that he was really ever the same after that, to be honest with you. So you can't go out there and just dance with arm trouble. But, again, most important thing is to win tonight, and then we'll figure out the weekend, and we'll look at next week. And, you know, maybe Charlie Foster is one of your starters next week. You know, maybe that's against Old Dominion. That Nichols Club's pretty good. You know, I don't know what their midweek pitching looks like, you know. But, you know, they're going to be jacked to play us. They always are. I mean, those Louisiana teams that come to Biloxi are always excited. And Old Dominion, it ends up being kind of a good thing for us because they were on their way to go play Southern Miss. And so we'll get them, and then they'll play us in Biloxi. They'll make the short drive up 49, man, to Hattiesburg and get ready to play their weekend series against the Golden Eagles. And so that's a part of it too. So let's get excited about baseball for today. And then this weekend, you know, we can kind of experiment a little bit and put some guys out there and, again, get them some work and save some wear and tear on some guys. We've got some depth in this bullpen. But, you know, I start thinking about the weekend. You know, what does Ryan McPherson go as the starter on Saturday? Right? And you got some other guys, too, that it can probably help you, too. You know, maybe you start Carson Ligon in one of those games in Biloxi. You know, see if you can't get him right. You know, we'll see. But I think this weekend you're going to see a lot of people pitch. But ultimately, again, we need Jacob Pruitt to go out there and have a great outing tonight against a really good Southern Miss club. And just as we are recording this, I get the release from the Astros Foundation College Classic that we had some Bulldogs make the all-tournament team. I know we're ready to move forward, but it's still always nice to kind of acknowledge that aspect of it. And we'll look at some baseball scores when we get to women's basketball. But Landon West, the catcher from Rice, ends up being your catcher. First baseman Colin Brueggemann from Oklahoma State. I was impressed with him. I thought he was really good defensively. He also hit 500 on the weekend. Second baseman Gavin Killen from Tennessee ends up being your most outstanding player and your second baseman. He hit 600, hit four tanks on a weekend. That will traditionally get you some accolades, and he's also your national hitter of the week. First Mississippi State guy to make the list, Ace Reese, who hit 500, four runs scored, a double, three home runs, six RBI, and a walk. Caden Kent from Texas A&M is your shortstop. Jace LaViolette, an outfielder. And then Reed Stallman. Also, basically had a better weekend than Jace LaViolette. I think LaViolette may have gotten it on name recognition alone. They both hit 444. LaViolette scores a run. Reed scores two. But he also hit two home runs, had six RBI. LaViolette did not hit a home run, had an RBI, had four walks. And is part of it. But, yeah, LaViolette, I think name recognition gets him the nod there. And then Brendan Summerhill from Arizona, who was really good, 333, really fast guy too. DH was Levi Clark from Tennessee. And then your pitchers, Harrison Bodendorf from Oklahoma State, Liam Dole from Tennessee, Pico Cohn of Mississippi State goes 1-0 with a 2.84 ERA. Two earned runs and 6.1 innings pitched, four hits, two walks, six Ks. And then Ryan Prager from A&M was absolutely filthy in that ball game. They end up losing. But nevertheless, wanted to get that out there, share that with you as well. Looking at scores from last night, kind of a weird night in the SEC. SEMO and Mizzou gets postponed, as does Louisiana Monroe and Arkansas was suspended. They resumed that game today. Georgia against High Point, it's an 8-4 ball game. They win that game 8-4, but you look up in the middle innings there, and it is really, really tight at 5-3, and then High Point cuts it to 5-4 there in the seventh, and Georgia rallies attack on, you know, three more to win the game 8-4, but a bit of a tussle. Alabama, no problem with Jacksonville State. It goes to full nine as Alabama scores three in the ninth down in Jacksonville to make it a 10-run game, but it is not a mercy ruling game. They held Jacksonville State to just four hits. Kentucky and Eastern Kentucky, that's a mercy ruling game, 16-0. The 9-run fifth is kind of the decisive inning there for the Wildcats. Kentucky now 10-1 on the year. Florida heads down to Orlando, and they get beat 13-3. It goes to full nine. And it's one of those things, too, you look at. Clearly, the mercy rule was not in place during this ball game because in the eight, Central Florida makes it a 13-2 ball game. And so they play out the nine. Florida scores one in the night, but not a great night for the number seven Florida Gators, who get absolutely shelled. And it's in the middle innings. You know, you look up and it's like, hey, it's a 2-2 ball game, and then Central Florida puts up eight in the fourth, fifth, and sixth combined to put the game away. Tennessee absolutely destroys Radford. Volunteers now 12-0. I think they're the best team in the country. People voted LSU number one. And the question that I asked Kendall Rogers on Sunday, in a super regional against Tennessee and LSU, who are you picking? Right now, what you know, who are you picking? I'm picking Tennessee. And that would be my decision-making process. They get Radford in seven innings, 22-9. But give Radford some credit. They led 4-2, headed to the bottom of the third. And Tennessee puts a game away with seven runs in the bottom of three. South Carolina and Davidson proved to be a bit of a tussle, too. The Gamecocks win it 7-3, but middle innings, Davidson's hanging in there. It is a 3-1 lead for Davidson going to the bottom of six, and then the Gamecocks put up five to put the game away. Texas San Antonio go into College Station, Texas, and punk the Aggies, who dropped from number one in the country to 14. I joked with some people over the weekend, does A&M fall out of the top 100? This A&M team has had some injuries. They are nowhere near what we expect them to be. Now, they're talented enough to kind of get it going, but right now, guys, Texas A&M is 6-5, and you lose to a Roadrunner team that's now 12-3. 7-4 is your final. And again, middle innings, right? That's the difference in a lot of these midweek games. You know, there's not a lot of ninth inning magic. There was some in Baton Rouge. We'll get to that shortly. Oklahoma was previously undefeated and ranked 13th in the country. They were 11-0, and they go to Dallas and play Dallas Baptist and get mercy ruled 11-0. Oklahoma held to just two hits in the ballgame. North Dakota State, what a wild one this proved to be. LSU wins it over 1-10, North Dakota State 11-9. LSU made three errors in the ballgame, but you look up, and North Dakota State's up 3-1, and then they put on four in the top of three to make it a 7-1 North Dakota State lead. LSU answers back. North Dakota State then answers back with two in the fourth, and LSU matches them. And then for the rest of the ball game, the Tiger bullpen shut out North Dakota State. LSU tacks on a couple runs there in the eighth to win 11-9. Again, I think there's some flaws for this LSU team. They're a great team, but I'm telling you, this is an LSU team that I think when you get into SEC play, their pitching is going to have to carry them. I think offensively there's going to be some challenges. Texas mercy rules Texas A&M Corpus Christi 15-1. It lasts just eight innings, and Texas basically walks it off there in the eighth with a single run to advance their record to 10-1. Southeastern Louisiana at Ole Miss was canceled. Evansville at Vanderbilt was canceled. And as I mentioned, the Louisiana-Monroe-Arkansas game was suspended, and they resumed that game this morning, and Arkansas wins it 10-1, and they only played seven. They went ahead and just shut it down, I guess, because excuse me. That's when the game was suspended, so they're going to pick that up. We'll resume in the bottom of the seventh. And so if Arkansas can manage a run here in the bottom of the seventh, then the game will be over. So, yeah, they stayed over. So looking at today's numbers, Georgia State's at Georgia, and Louisiana Monroe has a second game today too. So they'll resume the first game and then play the second game. Eastern Kentucky is back at Kentucky. Troy is at Alabama. That could be awfully interesting. Troy now 11-1. And give the folks at D1 Baseball a lot of credit. Troy lost a lot from last year. Returned some solid pieces too, but 11-1. D1 Baseball had them ranked in the top 25, and people are like, really, Troy? Yeah, Troy's really good. They'll go to Alabama. That'll be a game to watch. Murray State is at Ole Miss, and of course, Southern Miss at Mississippi State. St. Bonaventure will be at Vanderbilt. Xavier is at Tennessee. Florida Atlantic is at Florida. Auburn is at UAB. The Blazers now 9-2 on the year. LSU, Auburn ranked top 25 now. Texas Southern will be at Texas A&M. And then South Carolina, the Citadel, and then North Dakota State and LSU will play tonight. So busy week, busy midweek in the conference. I thought you guys would want to be aware of that. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle is the Stark Vegas Clubhouse if you're bringing a large group of people to town, whether it be a work group, a family group, a friend group, or whatever. Maybe it's a college roommates reunion. I don't know. But it's a great opportunity to use an incredible venue just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Very easy to find just out past the Highlands, man. You can do your tailgating right there. And we say it all the time, we don't get together enough. Well, let's make some plans, right? Let's just stop repeating that. You know, check out some friends of mine. I said, man, it feels like these days the only time I see you guys are at funerals, right? Well, you know, let's get together and do something fun. We've stayed at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and you should too. 6 bedrooms, 2, soon to be 3 baths, that full-service kitchen, incredible appliances there, the wet bar, the great back porch area, the fire pit area, and again, enough room for everybody to kind of congregate and then have some time to yourself as you can retreat to your own quarters in the evening if you so desire. When you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can peruse the pictures of all of the amenities available to you and your guest. Also, some booking options will pop up. It's Airbnb, VRBO, but if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10, beautiful Steve Robertson, and then a number 10, BSR10, get you 10% off your stay. So just by listening to this show, you're saving some money, right? Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You be the linchpin in your friend and family group and get some plans made today. All right, the Mississippi State ladies are in action today. And again, it's a busy time of year, right? And so Mississippi State will begin SEC tournament play today against Missouri. And as you guys recall, when we played them, we were without Destiny McFaul, and we lose essentially on a buzzer beater up there. Still a game that we feel like we should have won. They finished 15th in the league. We finished 10th. So the reality of it is, you know, we're projected to be in, but we're in that 8-9 game. Based on current projections, Charlie Cream usually has it exactly correct. But we need to win this game. We're still in the bubble, right? And so you need to add some evidence to your tournament resume that you are worthy of inclusion. And so step one for Mississippi State is to win this game today. I believe if you win this game today, I think – you're good no matter what happens the rest of the way. Now, if you win today, you'll play Ole Miss, right? And, of course, if you win that game, I think because of the fact Ole Miss was the 7th seed in the tournament, in the SEC tournament, that gives you, I think, more than enough breathing room. But Missouri, 14-17 overall, 3-13 in the conference. They are 3-7 in road games and 1-1 in neutral games. So a combined 4-8 away from Mizzou Arena. And so let's just kind of take a quick look back at what's happened to them since we ran across them. And again, they beat us 78-77 back on January 27th. They gave Texas a tussle in Austin. They lose that game 70-61, but played well. And then Tennessee. Tennessee goes into Mizzou Arena and wins the game, but it's 76-71. And Tennessee, a lot of people would say that team is probably underachieved. Well, then they lose 71-60 to LSU. So 11-point game against a really good LSU team, you know. They go to A&M. They win down there 69-59. Always tough to win on the road in this league. They host Oklahoma. They get beat by 16. They host Kentucky, number 14 at the time, lose that game by 8. Then they go to Oxford and lose by 2. So they've been playing better basketball. And then they go to Arkansas. They win that game 75-73. They get blasted by Vanderbilt over the weekend, 100-59. But by and large, every game, really, since they played us has been competitive. And I don't expect this one to be any different. But we have to find a way to win this game. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Let's kind of look ahead at the numbers here, too. Just kind of see who's playing well in league play, if we can find it. Individual league play by conference. There we go.
All right, so Grace Slaughter is played in all 16 conference games, started 15 of them, and averaging 15.6 points a game. Ashton Judd, 12.1, and Lanaya Randall, 12.1. And it's a pretty big fall after that. But this is a team, obviously, that has found a way to be incredibly competitive here as of late. And Ashton Judd has been a great rebounder for them, as has Lanaya Randall. And so we're going to need Medina Okada. We mention her all the time. We've got to be able to exploit that down in the paint. And kind of looking back at that game that we played against them, you know, just kind of look at kind of who stood out for us and stood out for them. You know, it's one of those games that you just kind of felt like we should just kind of be able to show up and win, and we didn't. You know, we're down by two after one, and then we take a two-point lead at the break, and it's nip and tuck the rest of the way. And they outscore us by three in the second half. You recall this is the Jerkayla Jordan game where she scores 40 points. 40. And had a chance to put it away late, and she was just absolutely exhausted. And we sent her to the line, just 9 of 17 from the line. You expect better from her, but that's a part of the deal, right? So she'll get their full attention, and this is where we need Destiny McFall to play well. But Medina Okot, 10 points and 11 rebounds in that game. We actually had 41 rebounds in the game to their 34. So we out-rebound them, and that's got to be the case this time, too. Grace Slaughter hit us for 31 points. In the game. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how each team adjusts to the other. But this is an absolute must-win game. You lose this game, you leave it in the hands of the committee. And I think if you lose this game, you're probably in trouble. That's kind of how I feel. I think there's going to be upsets in college basketball conference tournaments. And so you don't want to put yourself in that situation where you're reliant on somebody else to help you. You have a chance to take care of business here today. And again, Destiny McFall, again, one of your better players, that they don't know how we'll utilize her, right? I mean, they've seen her on tape, but they don't know what we'll do with her offensively to kind of give them some trouble. That's one of those things you look at, too. That's kind of a bit of an X factor, I guess. You know, when all of a sudden you find out that Destiny McFall is not playing in a game, and it's so tough to win on the road as it is, and you kind of like – you swallow hard and think, well, maybe we'll be okay. But when you go back and you consider the fact, too, that, again, State's 20-10, 7-9 in the league. But Destiny McFall is, you know, a young lady that's given you, you know, about 8 points a game, and kind of difficult to kind of make that up. She's, you know, kind of the first – kind of the sixth lady, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to need her – to have a good offensive game against them. And so, again, must-win game for Mississippi State women's basketball. Guys, I enjoy doing this so much for you guys, too. And that was the thing I mentioned kind of about being out in Houston. I had so many people that kind of came up and said, hey, Steve, love the show. Great to meet you. And we're all in this thing together. And that's one of the things that when I see some of the acrimony between our fans, it saddens me, it does. And everybody has a coping mechanism, right? There's some people that want to assign blame, right? And there are people that just want to vent. And, you know, we have some fans within our fan base that absolutely love men's basketball. It is their favorite sport. And, you know, they watch it all. I don't have time to watch it all. You know, I watch when we play. But there are some people, you know, because between covering baseball and all the administrative things that I got to do, and, you know, I can't sit around and watch college basketball every night. And so those people are important to me, you know, because they provide some knowledge to me, you know. But I saw some last night, you know, some people that were like kind of attacking those people that love Mississippi State men's basketball. And I know some of that is just the frustration spilling over from losing a ball game. But let's all check our egos a little bit, you know, and understand we're all in the same ship. We're all wanting the same things. And that's for Mississippi State to win. And there are some people out there that have this, you know, they don't like baseball. They think that we spend too much money on baseball. And I don't think that's one of those things that we should argue about. I think that each of us,
should cheer for Mississippi State no matter what sport we're playing. I'm a Bulldog through and through. And I share real quickly, I remember being in the fourth grade, and they used to sell pencils at the office, and maybe they still do, I don't know. But we had to go, we'd buy our pencils from the office. Every morning you get there, if you needed a pencil, mom would give you, give you a dollar or whatever, and you could go get you an eraser, and you could get scissors, whatever you needed, And one year they introduced the powerhouse college football pencils. It was the top 20 teams. And so my friend, Scott Davis, who probably won't remember this, he got Alabama. And Scott was a Southern Miss guy growing up. And I don't know what he tells you guys today, but he was a Southern Miss guy all the way growing up. And but he had he bought an Alabama pencil. And so I asked for a Mississippi State pencil, and they goes, we don't have that. It's the top 20. And Scott looked at me with this like look of derision in his face. It's like, Steve, Mississippi State, that made an impression on me. And I remember telling my dad about that. And then next thing I know, my dad had found a way to secure me some Mississippi State pencils. And I went to school, and I wrote with those Mississippi State pencils with pride. And I have always felt my entire life that Mississippi State is better than people think it is, and probably more, even more so than our fans think it is. And I think one of the most important things that we can do is to show some unity and to support all of our sports programs, no matter our favorites, right? Our softball team is off to an incredible start right now. I know many of our fans probably don't even know that. We don't talk about softball a ton on the show, but Coach Ricketts and Coach Brad and everybody involved doing a great job. And so it's just like me going and covering soccer this year, right? I mean, we had covered soccer before. I had an intern named Daniel Black that worked for me that covered soccer, and he was a kid from Texas that played the game. And, we ended up going to the tournament that year, and we hosted a game, here. And it's so important, to cheer for the logo. Right. I mean, how many times, when those kids won the fishing national championship, everybody's like, well, there we go. It's like anybody that wears maroon and white that is out there representing us is worthy of our respect. And I don't care if it's Frisbee golf or e-games. None of that matters to me. I want Mississippi State's brand to be associated with winning. And I think us arguing among ourselves sometimes is it's not the best light. That's just me. And trust me, I've had plenty to complain about, as have you. I'm up here, and there's a lot of things that happen sometimes that I'm not necessarily happy with, but they're not within my purview. And so there has to be some level of acceptance, so that's part of the deal. But at the end of the day, we're all Bulldogs, and we all want Mississippi State to win. And if you're one of these people that gets a little bit too personal about all this, and all of a sudden you want Mississippi State to lose so you can be proven right, that's a you problem and not a Mississippi State problem, right? There has never in my life ever been a scenario where I have wanted Mississippi State to lose so I could feel better about my opinion. And if you're one of those people, that's a problem. It is. And I hope that you'll get some help for that. True story. Well, that's it for today. If you haven't done so, go to dudynoblebook.com. You can get a signed copy of The Dude. You can get all my sports titles there. That's Flim Flam, Alpha Dog, Stark Villains, Dog Pile. Every Bulldog needs a copy, Dog Pile. And When the Bottom Falls, too. Again, a lot of people have come up to me and said, dude, that's your best book. And that means so much to me. It does. I don't think it is, but I think it's the book that I had to write. I certainly believe that The Dude is probably my best work, even though I made some mistakes. I mean, that's just the reality of life. I'm a human. Made mistakes in all of them. And there's always some things you look back after you read it, and you're like, oh, I should have done this, should have done that. That's part of the deal. But it's been nice to be able to be recognized for those things. And I appreciate all of you that have bought books and continue to buy books. And I've got so many people that message me regularly and say, well, Steve, what's next? We want to know what's next. So we'll have some announcements soon. And I didn't mention it on Monday, and the wife would be disappointed that I didn't, so please don't tell her. But if you haven't floated yet, you need to. Come see us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. And especially ballgame weekends, you need to plan ahead. It's not a walk-in type business. I mean, sometimes midweek, if you walk in, we might be able to get you right away. And she's very accommodating in that respect. But call 662-268-7601. Have all your questions answered. You can book on the app if you want to. But the reality of it is, if you have anxiety or chronic pain or you just need a break, we may be able to help you. A lot of our clients have experienced a lot of relaxation and a lot of relief by floating regularly. And so if you're looking out for a date night thing, a night out with the girls, you're a physical athlete and you need some recovery time, we can help you with that too. So again, 662-268-7601. I got a bag to pack because I'm leaving town, speaking tomorrow at Columbia High School. And then next thing you know, we're back and we got a lot to cover. You know, hopefully we're talking about a couple of women's basketball wins, a baseball win, and then we'll be back on Friday and preview another baseball series and another Mississippi State men's basketball game. I hope we're still playing women's basketball by Friday. I hope so. Don't know so, but certainly hope so. I know you guys do as well. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.